Welcome to Order Militaris Radio TV, and today is our Monday show where we talk about the updates of terrorism around the world. And we have with us Brother Alexis Bonello to the show.
Thank you, AJ, for having me on Order Militaris Radio TV. It's always an honor and pleasure. Breaking new ground in independent Catholic media, and especially today, our weekly program on terrorism around the world, because this is the grave and primary concern of our order and of Ordo Militaris Inc., a Montana corporation dedicated to the defense of persecuted Christians everywhere, of which I'm the president. So people don't know how bad it is and how widespread it is. And we have to realize that it's only our private action that's going to do anything about it. Governments obviously are not doing anything about it, and quite a number of governments, East and West, are actually supporting terrorism. So we need to defend ourselves.
Before we came on, and thankfully Raymond Abrams is up around moving early, he published another report, so we're going to lead off of that with ignored the genocide of Christians in Nigeria. The mass slaughter of Christians in Nigeria, which some international observers have classified as genocide, is reaching unprecedented levels. According to an August 4th report, at least 171 Christians were slaughtered by Muslim Fulani herdsmen in the space roughly of three weeks. And these are only those we know of. In reality, the toll is likely to be far higher. Many thousands are also being displaced by the violence from homes and such livelihood as they had left after COVID lockdown brought economic havoc. Our news desk has been swamped by such stories for many months. Yet this relentless and bloody toll of Christian lives is disturbingly absent from wider mainstream media. Let's see here. In one of the recent raids on July 10th, Muslim herdsmen massacred 22 Christians, mostly women and children, and torched many homes in the farming community. The Fulani came in and were shooting, we called it. Bill Key Sue James from her hospital bed. They killed two of my children and husband. They also hacked another five of her relatives to death with machetes, including a mother and her baby daughter and a mother and her two sons. A Muslim neighbor had apparently exposed the Christian family to his invading co-religionists. Before I was shot, Bill Kisu continued, I saw the Fulani man who was my neighbor. He even identified me. I surrendered to him on my knees. To no avail, they shot her in the chest and the back and left her for dead. Even as she heard them light the match and set the house on fire. The next day, a neighboring village was raided. 10 women, a baby, and an elderly man were burnt to death in a house where they had taken refuge. Another 7 villagers were injured and 4 houses burnt. On July 19, people attending a wedding celebration were among at least 32 Christian massacres and Fulani attacks. In a separate horrific night attack during the torrential rainstorm on 23rd July, at least 7 Christians died as militants brutally hacked unarmed men, women, children to death with machetes. The report adds that this was the second attack on the village within days, with 7 murdered in an attack days earlier on 20th July. On July 29th, Muslim herdsmen murdered another 14 Christians, 13 of whom belonged to one extended family. Only one member of the family remained alive. His wife, all his children, aunts, uncles, brothers, and other relatives were slaughtered. Last week, armed jihadists stormed the Lion of Judah's church in Hazikoro and opened fire on worshipers. 4 Christians were dead. That's the last of the current update.
It's absolutely horrific. It's obviously genocide, the killing women and children, but the brutality of it, that doesn't strike our hearts, then we're not human. And the media is not talking about this. This is not the first time. I got a package from a delivery company today, and the man who delivered it to me here in Italy asked me where I was from, and I said I'm from the United States. So he starts speaking to me in English. Turns out he's from Nigeria. Not everyone from Africa is from Nigeria, so I didn't want to presume. And he said, it's terrible what's going on. He goes, they are now going door to door and asking you, are you a Christian? Are you a Muslim? And if you say, I'm not a Muslim, they say, convert to Islam or die. And then they pull out their guns, machetes, and kill everyone. And the government's not doing anything because the government is in favor of the Islamization of the whole country. And they have like 54% of the population that's Muslim, and they want to dominate the rest. And this has not been talked about for at least 3 years. And we've been talking about it. The mainstream media will not talk about it because they're racists. They're run by racists. The whole left is controlled by what you would call Nazi socialists. And they might call themselves Marxists, but they're all racists. The left is racist, always has been racist, always about exterminating indigenous peoples who resist their ideology. So for them, a black dying in Africa means nothing. And a Christian dying anywhere means nothing. So they're not talking about this, and they're not talking about it because they don't want you to react and come to these people's defense. And this is what our whole order is about, to do something about it. And we'd love to do something in Africa and Nigeria. I know we would have many allies. We cannot do it without financing. So it's been 2 years now we've been asking. If there's anyone out there who'd like to help us start a chapter of our order in Nigeria and send military trainers there and start organizing with the permission of the government these towns to defend themselves, okay? Because they certainly, there's enough Christians in this world, and there's enough Christians who are military experts, and there's enough Christians who are wealthy to do something about it. Does it take a Jewish man, Abraham, I think he's Jewish, maybe he's maybe he's Assyrian or something, to talk about it? It's really shameful. Where are the Christians? And so we'll talk about more of this at the end of the program when we discuss a report from LifeSite about Christian persecution. So I appeal to everyone to open their hearts. If you want to help, even in a small way, join our order by a small monthly pledge, and that help us advance the cause of promoting the defense of Christians around the world, because it's not a small work. It's a great work, and it takes a lot of work to get it going. So in Nigeria, we'd open a security company, consulting company, and that would be the way to go, but we'd probably need 50,000 to do it. Very small investment for anyone who really wants to save lives. But there's just absolute apathy in the West right now. Christians who do not listen to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who says, the time will come when you have to sell your cloak and buy a sword. And that time has come.
Over the weekend, there was some a terrorist in the cathedral in Milan who took a police officer by knife, and what can you say about it from over there?
Well, someone, I've heard that it was an Egyptian, a Muslim. He pulled a knife on a security guard in the Cathedral of Milan, which is one of the great monuments of architecture in Western civilization. It's a Gothic cathedral, and threatened him with a knife. Fortunately, the guard counter-threatened him, and he laid down the knife and was arrested. But it goes to show you that the latent disposition of most Muslims, not all Muslims, I'd say like 56%, is to want to attack, destroy, and subjugate Christians, because that's what their religion teaches them. It's just a political superstition posing as a religion, but that's what it teaches them. So you cannot be naive about this sort of thing. And I've said many more, they could have been your friends for 40 years, but like in Nigeria, when the terrorists come near your neighborhood, they'll point out their Christian friends to the terrorists because they're in favor of killing you. They've been waiting for it. They just don't have the courage or daring, I should say, to do it. So something has to be defined. Christians have to defend themselves. Christ never said that we're supposed to go like lambs to the slaughter. He never said that. That's not the teaching of Christianity. He said, sell your cloak and buy a sword. And when our Lord says sell your cloak, people have to understand that most poor people had nothing but the clothing on their back. So when our Lord says sell your cloak and buy a sword, he's meaning it, when it comes to times of persecution, you should liquidate all your assets, even the ones you keep for wintertime, and buy a sword because your life is more than any of that. Okay, and he wants you to do that. He told that to the apostles who are priests, and a priest normally does not carry weapons. So we have to get out of this mind control that's been put on us by Freemasons and Marxists to think that we must be pacifists. Any Christian's a pacifist is an enemy of Jesus Christ. And if we're not doing anything to defend fellow Christians, we are collaborating with those people who are killing them. Now, we can't all do great things. We're not all military men, but we at least can do something. Okay, and that's what our order is all about. We try to, as much as we can do, to do something that will really be effective as long as more people join on. So I encourage everyone to become a member of the order, even if you're pledging $1 or $8.50 a month, because of thousands of you, we could found an office in Nigeria. We could do something like that. And when the terrorism was in the news in 2016, 2017, we had like 200 of you who are pledging monthly. And we did a lot of publicity, okay? But now we see the wisdom is not to do publicity, to actually make foundations of corporations and do the works, and that's what we're intending to do. Mm-hmm. So please become a member. If your heart is touched at all by these terror, these stories of genocide, then become a member of our order and help us do something for them, because there is no other organization in the world organized to help them. You can give them clothing and medicine after they're attacked and help rebuild their houses. They're just going to be attacked again. The only thing that will prevent it is security and defense. And the government of Nigeria is not giving it to them. Mm-hmm. So they have to do it for themselves. Yeah. And all of you out there who are in the United States, who are members of the NRA and believe in gun rights, how can you ask yourself, how can I talk about gun rights if I'm not in favor of the gun rights of Christians in Nigeria, where gun rights mean something? Gun rights in the United States don't mean anything. People aren't coming to your door asking you to convert to Islam. They'll gun you in the head. So, you know, think about it.
Yep. Let's see. Another Gatestone Institute report. From, let's see, 5 days ago. It's about how the mullahs and Hezbollah are lords of drug smuggling. You may only think that these guys are terrorist organizations, which they are, but you're going to learn something a little bit more about them. When governments or organizations that operate under the legitimacy of a state engage in smuggling drugs, the negative consequences can be devastating for the other nations. The Iranian regime and its proxy, Hezbollah, appear to be increasing their efforts to smuggle illicit drugs to other countries, particularly in the West. A Lebanese man, Ghassani Diab, was recently extradited from Cyprus to the United States for charges linked to laundering drug money for the militant group Hezbollah. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, Diab is alleged to have conspired to engage in and actively engage in the laundering of drug proceeds through the use of black market exchange in support of Hezbollah's global criminal support network. Italian authorities announced on July 1st, 2020, that they had seized 15.4 tons of counterfeit Captagon pills produced in Syria, a country reportedly the largest producer and exporter of the fentanyl or Captagon pills. The seized 15.4 tons of counterfeit Captagon pills are worth an estimated $1.3 billion. Captagon, a supercharged amphetamine, is banned in many countries due to its addictive nature. Reportedly, the seized drugs were so carefully hidden that the airport scanners did not detect them, according to the commander, Domenico Napolitano, of the Naples Financial Police. It was an interception of the calls made by some criminals that assisted the local police in seizing the drugs. So the bad guys called their buddies and bragged about it. Dummies. Rookies.
What most people don't know is that Muslims have high incidences of drug abuse because their religion teaches them that Muhammad was the perfect man. But in the Quran, it's clear that Muhammad is taking drugs. So a lot of them are drug takers and they think there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And we had reports back in 2017 from a French contact out there in Brittany that all the Islamic communities that were of refugees that were being imported by the French government were all involved heavily in the drug trade and all funneling that money back to terrorist organizations in the Mideast where those drugs have been made. So there is a lot to say in the favor of Syria against the civil war that was begun by them. But if they're mass producing billions of dollars worth of drug pills, they obviously are enemy of good people everywhere, especially of young people. And the next time you buy drugs, you might be financing the murder of a Christian in another part of the world. You shouldn't be involved in drugs. It's immoral, okay? Just like getting drunk is immoral. It's even more immoral because drugs destroy your mind faster than wine can or liquor can destroy your liver. And this is something we should be a watch of. So if you see any people selling drugs anywhere around the world, you should report it to the police, okay? And especially if it's Muslims, because that's probably it might be promoting terrorism also. So this is a reality of the corruption that spreads from a false religion through all its members around the world. And this is why a Christian nation has every right to exclude the entrance of members of false religions, because they have no morals, and no Christian morals at least, and they have no sense of a Christian sense of right and wrong, and they'll just subvert the population down to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah, and right when that report came out, that was when Secretary of State Mike Pompeo put out the tweet that they were going to go after Hezbollah even more. But Sunday, that tweet was gone. Because I was trying to find it and read it to you. I was like,
Yeah, Hezbollah being an arm of Iran is really, you can't take anything they say on face value. They have a lot of political power in Lebanon. The explosion there in Beirut is on their responsibility because it was their arms store and they were in control of the port. But they forged a political alliance with the leading Christian party, Maronites, who made a grave mistake aligning with them. And they've corrupted the country and taken over a lot of the politics of the country. I don't see how any Christian in Lebanon thinks that the Shia sponsored by Iran are not as bad as the Sunni of Lebanon who've been there for centuries. But the rivalries among all these groups are so strong. So we can't condone, we can never ally with the enemies of Christ. I mean, that's just so imprudent. And now Lebanon Lebanon might very well even have a civil war over it, because a lot of the population wants Hezbollah out, and they're a very strong military power. Those, because you can't own a gun, basically, and except for self-defense in Lebanon. Hezbollah is armed to the teeth with all kinds of military power, more so than maybe even the army. Mm-hmm. So this is the reality of what's going on. But now, isn't there been a lot of other kinds of violence in the West, AJ? Not just those inspired by Hezbollah.
Yeah. Get ready for another tearjerker. Oh. The killing of the 5-year-old Cannon Hennett from North Carolina. Authorities in North Carolina have charged a man with first-degree murder in Sunday's shooting of Cannon Hennett, a 5-year-old boy who was days shy of starting kindergarten. Darius Sessoms, a black man, next door neighbor of the boy's father, is being jailed without bond following his arrest on Monday. The child's killing, which unfolded a day earlier outside the house he shared with his dad in Wilson, North Carolina, sparked widespread outrage across the nation. His name trended on social media, accompanied by demands for justice and a fundraiser for his family. Collected almost $1 million. By Friday, the Wilson Police Department had offered only sparse details about the crime, with officials declining to answer questions from reporters. No motive has been released, and the answers have eluded the family of the precious boy, who they say loved Spider-Man, riding his bike in his camouflage Crocs. There's nothing I could imagine that anyone would have a reason just to run up and shoot a child, Cannon's grandmother, Gwen Hennett, said, told the Washington Post. So I just can't think of a reason why that seems plausible.
The rumor on social media is that the father wanted to show an act of kindness to his black neighbor, invited him over to dinner with all this controversy of Black Lives Matter. The father wanted to show that he wasn't a racist and he's willing to help his black neighbor, if anything. But the black neighbor was a racist.
Mm-hmm.
And when blacks are racist, that means they hate whites. So after eating dinner with the family, he went back to his house, got a gun, and they saw the little boy come out in the lawn. He just gunned him down in cold blood.
Yeah.
So, but that is only a rumor. So I can't say that is the actual narrative. We'll see as it comes out, and we'll follow this story and if the news or media reports on it. But yeah, you can see how similar this is to the story we just heard in Nigeria, yeah, where the neighbor turns on his neighbor. And this is one thing that doesn't have to do with blacks as blacks, but it has to do with blacks as from African culture. In African culture, killing the other, the guy who's not of your tribe and not of your race, is not considered as bad as killing an innocent person, okay? The tribes of Africa have long practiced a most brutal barbarism in which the competition over land, food, water meant that killing someone who's not in your tribe was never considered as bad or maybe even considered a virtue than killing an innocent person. It's a primitive, okay, it's a barbaric practice. And though modern Africans and blacks in the United States are certainly not primitives and they're not pagans, most of them, there are still pagans in Africa and don't live by that morals. Nevertheless, it's a cultural like default in the sense of when anger grabs the mind, the basic cultural values that you've inherited through generations sometimes click back into effect. Okay. And this is probably what makes both actions seem so similar, though this does not deny the culpability of what both have done. And this is a horrible tragedy. And those poor people, $1 million is nothing for having lost a son. There's no way to replace him. And so use caution, you know. You might want to be as friendly as you want to those who you perceive are enemy, but understand that being friendly isn't going to make them friendly if they're bigots, racists, or Islamic radicals. So this has happened so many times. There's so many stories from Europe, from Sweden, from Germany. There was a member of the parliament in Strasbourg. All these people took into their houses a refugee, a clandestine, as they're called in Europe, an illegal immigrant who was from Africa, and they ended up raped and murdered and cut to pieces because the person they didn't know was a psychopath. And as I was talking to this Nigerian man this morning who delivered a package for me, he says the reason why they can't find work is most of these people coming out of Africa now are criminals. They are not hardworking, honest people the way that used to come to Europe in the decades previous. And so since they have violent tendencies, they can't hold a job and no one wants to employ them. So it's not just that they're different in race or different in nationality or that they don't have work and are coming here illegal. They're also a criminal element. And this is a Nigerian. He says they're violent people. So I said, you mean they're criminals? He says, yeah, they're members of criminals organizations. So the left is importing the worst kind of immigrants. Okay, and we see this in the United States too. We've had an explosion of criminal organizations in the United States over the last 20 years because the left has been importing criminal organizations. So it doesn't surprise us that parties that are supported by the Irish or the Italian mafia should end up importing Mexican mafia or El Salvador mafia. Mm-hmm. And this is a security issue of national importance in all the countries where it's taking place. And we shouldn't minimize it and let the left try to characterize it as a racial issue. It's not. It's a question of security. And by supporting this kind of lack of security, leftist parties are criminal organizations. And you need to wake people up by it because they might want to vote left, but ask them if they want to vote for the party that will cause their mother to be strangled in her bed or their daughter to be raped and cut to pieces. And then maybe they'll think twice next time they vote.
And speaking of the left, George Soros is at it. He's going full steam ahead in Poland after the Catholics won the election again as president. His foundation going around different Polish cities and putting the rainbow flags on monuments in Poland, which is considered terrorism. And he also has a priest on his budget who's doing those sacrilegious, sinful, pro-gay masses. And they're also planning some sort of demonstration in Ireland at the Polish
embassy. Yeah, people often ask why Soros is doing this, but I think the best characterization was, so when Soros is a young man, he worked for the Nazis, confiscating property from Jews. And the man is a psychopath in the sense of he doesn't recognize any moral law. And he loved work. He said it was my best years of my life. He loves psychopathy. and he funds organizations of psychopaths to attempt to take over nations and put psychopaths in power. That's why he's behind the COVID-19. It's all psychopathy. And does he really hate Christianity and want to wipe Christians off the map? That might be, but he's definitely loves psychopathy, and he's a psychopath, and he pushes psychopathy. And for that reason, he should be arrested. He's an enemy of mankind. But to do this to Poland after losing an election shows that these people aren't Democrats. They're not in favor of democracy one bit. They want power, they want tyranny, and they want to viciously attack everyone and subject to them to themselves. So to accord these people any kind of respect or equality in law is just a grave mistake, because you don't give criminals rights. You take rights from criminals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since now the Catholic Party, I'm not sure what the name of it is in Poland, has the Supreme Court, has the numbers in Parliament, has the presidency, I would unleash hell.
Well, hopefully this will lead them to outlaw any organization that's ever received funding from Soros and expel all foreigners working for his organization, and to severely punish the Poles involved in the subversion of the state, because this is no small thing. To subvert a state morally is worse than to subvert it politically.
Do something no one has ever done before. Issue an arrest warrant for Soros.
No, actually, that has been done. There's an arrest warrant for Soros in Russia. And maybe someday, unfortunately, the Russians don't have as much daring as the Americans to go to other countries and rendition people back. But if the Russians did it, I'd praise them for it.
Yeah. Okay, then. Let's see. What we got next? Oh, yeah, Turkey. What are you doing, bud? That was a real shocker. Not really, but. Turkey grants citizenship to Hamas operatives plotting terror attacks from Istanbul. And I forgot what we are talking about in the Skype chat when we found this out, that Turkey has free movement where you don't need no visa is Japan, South Korea, a few other Asian countries.
Mm-hmm.
Which is weird.
Well, some countries try to be favorable to others, but Turkey under Erdogan is really taking a very dark turn. He's turning the country into an Islamic radical state. He's putting himself forward as if he was a caliph or something. He's doing everything he can to offend the West. He has several times threatened the invasion of Europe by unleashing hordes of refugees. And now there's a military standoff on all the borders with Bulgaria and Greece, with units, I think, of Serbia and Romania and Hungary participating in defending the borders of Bulgaria and Greece. And he sent troops to Libya. And now by supporting Hamas, he's like sticking a knife in the back of Israel, which was a longtime ally of Turkey, geopolitically. And it's really amazing. So he's militating with Azerbaijan to a war against Armenia, in which Turkey would probably take most of the territory of Armenia. So I'd say Turkey's turning into one of the axes of evil in the modern world. Far more aggressive appears territorially than Iran, because Iran might be aggressive through terrorist organizations. But Iran doesn't have, as far as I know, any pretensions about grabbing territory from neighbor states, at least not in recent years. The last, so that was a war with Iraq, and I think Iraq began that war. So.
And Greece has their navy in nearby, and They think they took a few Turkish ships. So the Greeks aren't playing.
Yeah, Turkey is also involved in attempting to steal underwater rights off Cyprus and Greece, and constantly sailing their fleet into Greek and Cypriot waters.
Yeah.
Not to mention that Turkey has been illegally occupying half of Cyprus for nearly 50 years now, and the UN has never done anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
No one's ever come to the aid of Cyprus on that. So Turkey is clearly an aggressor state, and we need to watch what's going on. I highly recommend to all the listeners of the show, do not ever enter Turkish territory, okay? There's no law and order. Journalists, anyone who criticizes the Turkey, just go disappear in Turkey. They're never seen again. So I highly encourage you to boycott Turkey, all its products and services too. We should have nothing to do with the Turkish nation. I know there's a lot of good people in Turkey, but you can never be sure where the money is actually going and what it's supporting.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the so-called fleets that Turkey's sending over, They call those things fisherman fleets. I was like, what are you fishing?
Yeah, there's not much fish in the Mediterranean, so fisherman fleets makes no sense. There's no fish in the Mediterranean just really to speak of anymore.
So Greece launched your navy and fired a few shots and took a few ships. And you're not coming this way. Let's see here. Next. France is going backwards. Reverse colonization of France. Does that get some? No, let's get some. This is from Guy Millery. He writes, "We own the third largest city in France, July 20th, 3 a.m. A middle-class neighborhood. A young woman walks her dog on a quiet street. A car arrives at high speed and crushes her dog. A driver stops, backs up, runs over the young woman, and crushes her too. He goes forward again at full speed, drags her dead body half a mile. People awakened by the noise write down the license number of the car. The police officers who come to the scene are horrified. The young woman's body was dismembered. A leg was found on one side of the street. The rest of the body was shredded. One arm was close to the body of her dog. The other was still holding on to the dog's leash. Her name was Alexio Doria. She was a nurse, only 23. The French Department of Justice asked the police not to release the name of the killer. An anonymous policeman released it anyway on social network sites. Good for him. The killer's name is Yusuf T. He was driving under the influence without a license. The prosecutor charged him with reckless murder. He is in jail waiting trial. He risks a maximum sentence of 10 years. Residents of Lyon wanted to organize a peaceful march to pay tribute to the young nurse. He asked the government to get tough on crime. The young woman's parents objected. They said they have no hatred for the killer. How the Franks have fallen.
Okay. If you don't have any hatred for a killer after he runs over your daughter and dismembers her, there's something wrong with you psychologically, because hatred is a natural reaction of the human soul to something that's evil. It's quite a different thing to say you want vengeance upon him in excess of the law. But if you don't want him to suffer for his crime and you don't hate him for the barbarity of what he did, there's something wrong with you psychologically. Now, as Christians, we should always love everyone, even sinners. But that means we should want that they get to heaven. It doesn't mean that we like them, okay? So actual hate, human, at the human level, is not contradictory to Christian virtue, okay? And to say you don't even want a march in honor of your daughter, that daughter has suffered a double tragedy. She lost her life. She doesn't even have a family that cares for her and has any compassion for her memory. And did the government even allow the march?
Nope.
Yeah. So when you have a party that's supporting these kind of murderers, your party, that part ruling government is a psychopathic party. And Macron is a clear psychopath because he was involved with pedophilia. He was a willing victim of pedophilia as a child with his school teacher, who's now his wife. Mm-hmm. So he's just totally loony. But if you elect a psychopath in your country, you're going to have people, innocent people slaughtered, just like the Germans elected a psychopath and you had 40 million people put to death. So it is gravely wrong to vote for psychopaths. And you need to convince your neighbors to vote for people who are sane. It's not a question of prejudice here. This guy who ran down that street, it looks like he may have killed the dog and out of accident, but so as not to suffer the penalty, he killed the woman too, because he's a complete psychopath. And a person like that should get capital punishment. There shouldn't even be a trial. Just execute them, you know, and hang them in the street. Because public execution deters psychopathy. And that's why modern parties, which are psychopathic, don't want public executions or even capital punishment, because they want to prosper. And the purpose of, the reason why Europe was this cradle of civilization is because people like this were put to death for thousands of years. It wasn't tolerated. Other parts of the world, it's tolerated, but in Europe, it was not tolerated. So if your party's tolerating this, they're a party of barbarians, and it's going to come to your door. It's going to be your daughter someday. And this is no exaggeration. It's when people have to wake up and really vote for parties that protect their security. If you're not voting for, if that's not the first thing in your mind, the security of the innocent, when you're voting, you're part of the problem.
Yeah. Those are all the news stories we got. And you, sent me about LifeSite News.
Let's see. Yeah, so read the report and then I'll comment.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Title, French Churches Under Constant Attack. Nobody wants to admit the reason. August 14, 2020, a Rwandan refugee who I've been employed as a caretaker, he has confessed the starting of the July fire at Nantes Cathedral for reasons that remain obscure. The causes of the terrible 2019 fire that severely damaged Notre Dame de Paris may never be known. Fires can start for all kinds of reasons, but there is sadly a pattern of Catholic churches in France being deliberately burned down by people with a hatred for the church and the faith. They are indeed about 1,000 attacks a year. The British weekly, The Tablet, recently reported, something is happening in French society that's long been neglected, but is becoming evident with these fires, said Stéphane Lund, Secretary General of Justice and Peace Europe. The country is becoming de-Christianized, and there are people who wish, for whatever reason, to vandalize and destroy Christian symbols. The long-held strategy of keeping this under wraps simply does not work. The Justice and Peace movement is not normally associated with wild claims about culture wars, and as an advisor to the Commission of Bishops Conference of the European Community, Lund must be familiar with the safe and stodgy institutional mainstream of the Catholic Church in Europe. He is clearly fed up with it. He continued an interview with a German Catholic radio station, Dom Radio. There are Satanist cults here in France, as well as very extreme anarchists and libertarian groups. People often quite unstable psychologically. Perhaps he thought it was thought it diplomatic not to mention individuals and groups inspired by some version of Islam, but clearly they are also playing a part in this, both in France and internationally. What do Satanists, anarchists, extremists, libertarians, and Islamist terrorists have in common? It is difficult to think of anything except a common enemy, the Catholic Church. For some of these, a historic cathedral represents civic pride, brothers' particular conception of French identity. Others would see any Catholic church or recognizably Catholic cleric or religious as a symbol of the church's teaching on abortion and contraception. Others, again, a rival and a sacrilegious religion. This still doesn't explain this phenomenon. Arsonists and vandals could be attacking museums and civic buildings, police stations, or government officials. To an extent, they do, but the church and individuals associated with her have a special characteristic that attracts their attention. They are soft targets. One aspect of this is that churches can be difficult to make secure, but more important is the church's reaction, which referred to as keeping this under wraps. The reaction of bishops and Catholic commentators to these attacks have consistently been to play them down and to ignore them as a pattern, something the secular media are only too happy to help them do. Terrorists of all kinds want to make a point, and are no doubt pleased when this is amplified through the media. However, their atrocities also create a reaction, often undermining sympathy for their cause and generating it for their victims. This is a game the victims of injustice can win. As things are, these constant attacks on the church are clearly not being discouraged by this doormat attitude. On the contrary, the perpetrators are encouraged in their project of destroying the dignity, prestige, and sense of historical preeminence the church has, particularly in historically Catholic countries like France. These attacks are so frequent now that few French Catholics can have failed to notice them happening. Locally, in the media, silence around them powerfully sends out the message that no one cares, not even, it would appear, the bishops. What is true of France is true to a degree in many other countries, and the way things are going, similarity looks set to increase. Catholic leaders seem concerned to create impression that to be associated with the church is not only to be linked with clerical sex abuse, but to risk life and limb in some atrocity that will cause pastors and society at large no more than a shrug. Their message about dignity of Catholic churches and lives of Catholics turns out to be the same as the terrorists. Turning the other cheek is not about giving up church's holiest possessions to be abused and profaned. That's called casting your pearls before the swine, and it's something we are told not to do. Still less, it is about exposing the weakest of our brothers in Christ to attacks on their faith, even on their lives. That's called scandalizing the least of these, which Christ warns us will be punished by God. It is, rather, about not making your pride our guide in seeking revenge. It is time for bishops to admit they have made a mistake and start protesting about the victimization of those under the charge.
Okay, so I wish to... What's the name of the author of this article, AJ?
Let's see here. Doesn't say.
You might say at the bottom they put a box sometimes with their author's name in it.
No writer. Okay, here we go. Dr. Joseph Shaw.
Okay, I want to praise Dr. Joseph Shaw for this excellent piece, which is praiseworthy in almost every detail. And I want to thank LifeSite News for finally publishing an article like this. However, I point out two big problems. This is what St. LifeSite News has been doing for 4 years, ignoring the problem. And they've been out there more than 10 years. They've been around, I think, around 15 years, and they pretty much ignored the problem because they have hardly ever featured stories about Christian persecution, hardly ever. And they've known the existence of our order for 4 years, and they've completely censored it. They have never once published a news article, even though the existence of our order is a historic novelty, and we're the only organization out there. Never once they published it. Never once. And so this criticism by Dr. Shore should be extended also to media organizations like LifeSite News. But there's a weakness in this article, too. He's faulting the bishops. Are the bishops the only ones at fault for not doing anything? How about the priests? How about laymen? How about wealthy laymen? How about people in the pews? Why are they not rushing to the defense of their churches? Why are they not taking up the cause of defense of Christians? It's not just the bishops. And this is a problem you see in, it's the theme you see in all the LifeSite News articles. They attack the hierarchy. They never attack the problem. Okay? The problem is always the fault of politicians or the bishops. It's never I myself. Okay? And that's not a Christian way of acting. That's a Masonic way of acting. And that's very anti-patriarchal and a Marxist. Okay? And it's also Masonic. So the article should include a criticism of why the French aren't doing anything. Or and it should include a call that Frenchmen rise up and do something about it. So that's the big lacks in that article, and that's the big lack in the editorial program of LifeSite News. But at least they're got one foot step there, even though it's within their own narrow theologic, ideologic thing of always fault the bishops and never the laymen, and promote hatred of the hierarchy, which is something no Catholic organization should be doing. And if you notice here at Ordo Militaris, we do not attack the hierarchy for not defending the faithful. It's the duty of the faithful to defend the faithful, and we don't even attack the faithful. We might lament it. We might say you should do something about it, but what's the purpose of attacking people if you're going to actually want to start a crusade of defense, okay? So to all you Frenchmen out there and all you people of French descent, if you want to stop what's going on in France, do it with Ordo Militaris Catholicus. We would found a security company in France. We'd organize church defense groups all around the country. We'd have training programs. We'd follow the laws. And then these things wouldn't happen anymore because there'd be someone on site to see the arsonist before he went into the church. And we've been telling people this for now 3 years. No one's come forward. Okay. AJ and I are not wealthy people. I don't have a penny in my name. He has hardly anything to his name. So you can't fault us for not wanting to do anything. We've been working 4 years for no salary, organizing and getting ready to do something once investors come by. So if you want to defend the church in France, do it with Ordo Militaris. And it can be done. You just need to want to get it done. And we have a stock series, T-Series stock. We're offering $5 million of securities for sale, private offering. And that would be more than sufficient to do a lot in France, a lot. And then we would save billions of dollars of church property for a very small investment. So it's just common sense. So we can fault the bishops all we want, but if we ourselves aren't willing to do anything, then we're hypocrites when we fault the bishops. And I'd love now to see LifeSite News follow through with the article they published and do a fundraiser for Ordo Militaris and encourage investors for the defense of France and the foundation of a French chapter of our order. That would be the honest way to follow up. Because we're not a company, I don't get a salary, AJ doesn't get a salary, we don't own stock in the company, we're not going to make money out of this. We want to see Christians defended, we want to see churches defended. Our founder in spirit is Father Jacques Hamel, who was murdered in France. And for 4 years, we've encouraged the French to start a chapter, but nothing yet has gotten off the ground. So the blood of Father Jacques is yet unfruitful in his own country. And that's that should concern all Catholics and all Frenchmen. So I challenge LifeSite News now to follow through with that report. If they're honest and then just didn't publish that to get praise for themselves or more readers for themselves, if they're honestly interested in defending churches in France, then I challenge them to do an article about our order and help us do a fundraiser and an investment fundraising for starting a security company in France that will defend churches and encourage and train French to do it.
And see, you wanted to speak about Lebanon again before we close.
Yeah, so as you may know, our order is involved in a humanitarian mission to Lebanon, a crusade of charity, I call it, and that is to help the Christians of Beirut, the Catholics in particular, get humanitarian aid from a Catholic organization that's not going to force them to be vaccinated, not going to force them to accept the gay agenda, not going to force them to be contracepted, sterilized, or promote abortion, like the Red Cross will, like UNICEF will, and like all the aid organizations. And we're not Marxists, and we're not affiliated with any organization, so people get help directly with us without any of the politics in the church or in the state. And I want to thank everyone who's already donated, I think it's around $12,500 right now. And our goal is $1 million, so we have a long way to go. And I challenge anyone out there who has a pension fund, a house, savings, investments. These people have lost everything, okay? 300,000 people, they have no home. You come to ordo-militaris.us, click the link for Beirut Fund, and on the Beirut Humanitarian Relief Fund, you can see a tweet we posted from someone else, it's not our video, of the complete destruction of that city, okay? So those buildings have to be knocked down from the bottom up and rebuilt, and it's going to be years. These people have lost their jobs, their homes, everything, their schools, their churches. So be generous, and I challenge anyone out there who has a pension fund to make an offering of at least $1,000. And those who have over $500,000 in a pension fund, I invite you to make a donation of $10,000. And if you don't want to do it electronically, you can send a cashier's check, a bank check, to our headquarters. Our address is on our website at in Helena, Montana. And as soon as the fund reaches 25,000, I'm going to Lebanon. I'll be on the ground. I'll do reports there so you know what's really going on. And the fundraising will probably continue for at least a year or two because there'll be a constant need. Once we start operations there, we'll found a company to do it through, then our needs will be even greater. So this is a chance to actually start acting like a Catholic and putting your money as. Most of your churches will close down. Most of your clergy are abandoning you, but that doesn't stop you from still doing a work of charity for fellow Catholics, okay? And we who are not clergy can help those who are not clergy. There's nothing preventing us, and the laws allow us. So I encourage you, please be generous. And I don't have a pension fund or healthcare, and I donated $1,000 from the money people give me for my living, okay? Because I have to beg every month what I live on. So you who have money in the bank, you can certainly open your hearts and prepare your throne in the kingdom of heaven with charity here on earth. And this is a way to do it. And I invite you, encourage you to do it and spread the word about the Beirut Humanitarian Relief Fund at ordo-militaris.us.
Before we go, tomorrow's show might be a little bit longer. Be about a man forgotten. And if you have gone on YouTube, the movie about him is there with English subtitles for free to watch. The Admiral. Admiral Alexander Velichich Kolchak. We're going to tell you all about him, his service in three wars. He is the real supreme leader of Russia, and why the Allied powers betrayed him.
A great Christian leader of the Russian people, and I don't know if you have any listeners from Eastern Europe or from Russia, you might want to tune in and hear all the wonderful things about Kolchak that you practice your English, listen to us talk about, since he's really an admirable figure. And this is part of our series on Christian leadership. We feature Christian leaders. Later in the month, we're going to do Richard the Lionheart, isn't that correct? And we've already done King Sobieski, we've done the Piast dynasty, and so we'll be doing other Christian leaders throughout history to encourage Christians of today to start acting like leaders and changing the world for Christ's sake.
So please like, share this video on BitChute and YouTube. Please like the audio on Mixcloud and share it. And subscribe to the channel. And please support Order Militaris Radio TV so we can keep upgrading everything, make it even more professional. Go to ordo-militaris.net. You can click any of the show pages. You'll see the make a monthly subscription pledge. You click the blue green button, then you decide which one you want. One time or monthly, and follow the steps. And you can also go to the Order Militaris Radio store, Teespring store, get your mugs, shirts, stickers, your Lepanto stuff.
You can get a Lepanto shirts, hoodies, and now you can get a Lepanto mug.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So please go to the radio website to support us that way so we can keep upgrading equipment, get better camera system so it doesn't have a little slowness to it. And people like, you need to get a better camera. There's one way to help. Become a monthly subscriber.
So. Yes, and please do. AJ puts in a lot of work, all free, without pay. Not like a lot of talking heads on the internet or just raking in money for themselves. So
tune in for tomorrow for Admiral Alexander Kolchak. And see you then. This is Order Militaris Radio TV signing off. Deus vult.
Deus vult.